na 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 na. The Chiefs have themselves a new wide receiver, Xavier Worthy. That's who we're going to focus in the entire hour. And I said an hour. Yes, we unfortunately only have an hour today with Royals baseball coming up due to the draft being in Detroit. The Tigers have a day game at noon.
You think
noon.
They just wouldn't schedule the Detroit to play in Detroit?
Yeah, that would have been
knowing that
good.
That draft site got selected, what, like years ago?
A couple years in advance. That's true. Yeah. So just an hour today, but we are going to do a special YouTube, social media, all of our platforms, Facebook, YouTube, X, Twitch show coming up a little after 11 as well. So we'll have an extra hour of, I guess, bonus show.
Take your questions. Yeah. We're just going to screw around.
No FCC regulations there.
I can curse a lot more, yeah. I am going to enjoy that, I think, maybe.
So that's coming up at 11. But here in about a half hour, Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride, is going to join us to talk about not only the Xavier Worthy pick, but what's ahead tonight where the Chiefs do still own one pick after the trade, and then what are they going to do the rest of the weekend. But let's get right into it. Xavier Worthy, you just yesterday we had a conversation like, it's not very often that fans get their wish of a position, the fun wide receiver position.
Yep.
In the first round, the Chiefs drafted Rashee Rice. In the second round, first round, though, wide receiver under Brett Veach. We now can check that box off, and now we can wait and see what that result looks like. What's fun about this pick is it's not just, oh, they got the toy, the gadget of that's really fast. This seems like they got the guy that is the fastest guy ever in the combine at the wide receiver spot, but also someone that's a pretty good route runner. And we can get into some of the concerns later on. Like, he got drafted 28th because there are still questions. Otherwise, he would have been the second or first wide receiver off the board. But, man, you're getting someone that can burn a defense and has the ability to run routes effectively and not just be someone that you have to scheme up constantly. At least that's what it sure looks like. I completely disagree with those that want to already say, oh, he just looks like another John Ross. I think that's completely unfair. He also has been healthy. John Ross got hurt running the 40 at the combine many years ago.
Look, I think a lot of people are going to, if you dislike the pick, you're essentially just going to call it every Ted Ginn, Henry Ruggs, John Ross, ooh, super fast guy, tempted. And look, he might end up being that. We've already told you the hit rate at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that Xavier Worthy is a 100% lock, no question. Now, I do laugh a little that, of course, I should have seen it coming. That of all the available wide receivers for the Chiefs, they'd take the 5'11", 170-pound dude. I mean, their history at wide receiver would suggest that's the exact type of wide receiver they like. Super small, fast as hell, not 6'3". We always are trying to get them to take the, like, I want them to take Leggett. He's 6'3" and 220 pounds, and they never take that guy. They take the fast guy. And look, in their case, I've told you I've wanted more speed in the wide receiver unit this entire time. I think it is hard to hate this pick if you wanted them to take wide receiver. You just got to hope that they got the one right. And I think it's fun that he's super fast, and I do hope that that plays a factor.
Well, for this one season this year where you've got Rice and Brown and Worthy, and as of right now, then the rest of the room looks like Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Justin Watson. Maybe they draft another wide receiver. Yeah, you're going to have some exciting opportunities down the field that you didn't have a year ago between Brown and now Xavier Worthy. What hopefully happens, and if you're looking ahead as the Chiefs do with any pick, you hope that if he progresses this year, and we'll have all summer to talk about what we actually expect him to be in 2024. But beyond 2024, well, this is your guy that, if all goes well, he's the guy that steps in when Hollywood Brown is gone in a year because he only signed a one-year contract. If everything goes great, Hollywood Brown has a great year, has 800 to 900 yep. yards. He gets a big payday. The Chiefs probably won't pay him. He gets what he wants. Hopefully the Chiefs get another ring. Xavier Worthy then next year steps up. He's your number two. He takes the exact role that Hollywood Brown had this year. That's like the perfect everything
dream
went
scenario.
Well. And that's what's exciting about it as well, because I think he is the Hollywood Brown replacement in a year from now, if he turns out to be what they think he can be.
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, his upside is still he can catch the ball in a regular route running situation. He wasn't at Texas simply a burner. And I'll be honest, I was not impressed by Texas's quarterback play last year. So I definitely think his quarterback play should extend some of his ability to do it. A lot of it is just they needed, the thing the Chiefs haven't been able to do for the last 3 years that has held them back more offensively than in the early years of Patrick Mahomes is they were in no way for the last 2 years a vertical threat at all. None. Zero. Their only vertical threat was MVS, and he can't catch the damn ball deep. And he wasn't getting his open deep, and they were getting closer and closer to line of scrimmage. I view this move a little bit in the way that we talked about. This is the Chiefs' attempt to be like, I dare you to stay as close to the line as you have been staying. Just try that and find out how that's going to work out for you. And I like the idea that you're just back to the evolution part of the game. They figured out how to throw the ball 2 yards at a time and bore us all to death going down the field. I mean, legitimately, last week I watched the last two drives of Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't call either of those drives, you know, like they weren't just slinging it 40 yards at a time. The ball was going 8 yards down the field the whole way, and he marched himself all the way down.
Yeah,
there.
I think Mahomes was eight for eight down the stretch.
Got himself a field goal at the end of regulation, went right down the field, la-di-da, moment by moment, and took it down for the touchdown that eventually won them the game and what a drive that seemingly took 4 hours. They figured out how to do that, but the idea that they could reverse into this feels great.
I think the other end of it, too, and Andy even mentioned it last night, is he's a good receiver, he's a good returner, and he'll do both. Like, the plan is for him to be set right into that punt returner spot where he had a punt return for a touchdown last year at Texas. He was the guy for them, so he already fills a role that can be useful where you don't have to rely on Kadarius Toney or somebody else back there. You've got a true punt returner who you can utilize from day one, and he brings you the speed, and then he brings you the ball tracking too. I watched some highlights from his year last year at Texas, and particularly you mentioned Quinn Ewers, iffy quarterback play at times. He can track a deep ball.
Yeah, and that was the when we've discussed the wide receivers, whether it was A.D. Mitchell or anybody else, it was, hey, can you find somebody that can do something you haven't had the ability to do since Tyreek Hill was here? And that's what you're talking about, Drew, which is being able to actually track the ball deep. That was a struggle of Mecole Hardman throughout his entire career. Even there were plenty of opportunities where he got open down the field. He just struggled to go get the ball and track it. MVS was just drops. I think they have alleviated both of those issues by bringing in Hollywood Brown for a year, and then now with this pick of Xavier Worthy. And again, doesn't mean that there will not be some potential issues there. Otherwise, if it was a sure thing, he would have been the number one overall pick. You know, he would have gotten the number one wide receiver or whatever in the draft. There's a reason why he fell. I was surprised he was there. And we know the Chiefs trade up. And do you guys think they needed to trade up? Because if you look at how it went, I think Brett Veach has mastered the back end of the draft and what he believes the board is going to do. We joke about, oh, the board is going to tell you what to do.
Whispers.
I think he has mastered how to talk back to the board a little bit, because if you look at what happened right after the Chiefs traded up, so they trade with the Buffalo Bills. We'll get to Buffalo in a second. They trade to 28 from 32. And then right after that, two wide receivers go off the board.
Yep.
Pearsall and Leggett go off the board. Panthers trade back in with it. But think about that. Would the Niners have taken Xavier Worthy?
Maybe.
I think there's a decent chance they would have. And so the fact that it was time. Like, hey, we waited long enough. It was time to move up. I think he has kind of mastered the late, hey, we're picking 28 to 32 every dang year anyway. He has mastered the ability to go up and trade, not 10 spots. Sometimes you just trade up three or four spots.
The reason why it works is the stat that came out last night. This is one of the cheapest trade-ups in NFL history.
For a non-quarterback,
They essentially paid nothing. They gave up 30 spots in the draft. I know that means like, well, now they don't have a third. Yeah, they got two fourths. They moved 35 spots, okay? 30 spots. That's all they got charged to make sure they got the receiver they want. Normally, I'm anti-trade up because of the cost, right? Like, we could talk about what the Vikings paid to move up one single spot for a quarterback on a team that didn't seem like they were going to take a quarterback. Chiefs essentially paid a very low freight. Like, what do I care if they pay almost nothing to move up? Into the Bills? Oh, Bills.
I always liked our friends in Buffalo.
Why haven't they learned? Okay, so now this would be the third time. This would be interesting to see if they go 0-3. This would be the third time in the Mahomes era that the Bills have been in or around a draft conversation that involves the Chiefs. The first one is obviously they traded the pick that the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes with. And there was a really sad Buffalo fan last night. I felt bad for him, honestly, who was trying to justify in his own brain that the Bills won the Mahomes trade.
Well, that guy's an idiot. Sorry. He is an idiot.
Well, yes. For the very none of the players they even traded for even on the roster anymore. Doesn't matter. So there's that one. And then the Chiefs obviously traded ahead of them to get McDuffie. And now this one. How do you, I mean, I got to be honest, for that little reward, why would you let the Chiefs go up there?
Because sometimes you would say, you know what, if it wasn't the history, you would have said, you know what, it's actually decent that you were willing to trade with anybody to better what you thought was bettering your team. Normally, we applaud that. The problem is you've got a track record of it burning you, and this is your biggest obstacle for Josh Allen and your organization. And now, if it works out for Xavier Worthy, you gave the Chiefs a key to the fastest wide receiver in NFL history.
That sounds fun.
That's what they did. They allowed that to happen.
If their thought process is, and obviously with the potential for Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel to get traded, they found an opportunity to trade back twice and load up on some of those draft picks, maybe to get a guy where it happens that they can still get A.D. Mitchell where they're currently at. So I think in terms of all the trades that they've made with the Chiefs, this one, it's the biggest win, I guess, for them potentially down the line. But it also, it unlocks your biggest rival to getting to a Super Bowl, the keys to Xavier Worthy. So, I mean, there's pros and cons, but I think this one has the most pros because they still get A.D. Mitchell Well, I mean, they have the pick tonight. They have the first pick.
So nobody thought they were going to trade down twice. Yeah, I mean, that's the expectation that the Bills, who have the first pick tonight, are going to actually take A.D. Mitchell. But who thought they were trading at 28 and also trading down at 32? So, I mean, I'm with you. I think that's the thought process. And maybe they trade for Deebo Samuel. But the fact that you allowed the Chiefs to have the opportunity to get a guy they clearly wanted that is going to be the fastest wide receiver in the NFL and have the opportunity to have maybe some of a vertical threat they didn't have against you even a year ago. Can't wait for that game. Can't wait for the Chiefs to play the Bills and Xavier Worthy to go for a $110, even if he doesn't do that all year, but just that's the one game he's going to go for a $110 and a touchdown just because.
I do think they needed to trade up because it shows that they needed to be aggressive and not reactive but proactive. Like, this is our guy, we want him, we're going to go get him. And if it's four spots, it's four spots. If it was six spots, it was six spots. You know, they have the guy, I think, that Andy loves, and that's what you want them to do, not be reactive. Because worst case scenario is, what if Xavier Worthy's picked there, and the Chiefs like, crap, well, we could take Leggett, but we don't love him as much as we could have got with Xavier Worthy.
I'll say this about tackle versus wide receiver, because that was inevitably going to be a part of this conversation. They either didn't like some of the tackles that we were all making, because like the same people that we have been mentioning in a gajillion mock drafts were available at 28, would have been available at 32, as were available in the wide receiver spot. So when it came down to it, you and I both still know that they preferred the wide receivers that were available over the tackles that were available. Like, most of those guys were available. Look, the big names were gone. The J.C. Latham and Joe Alt and the one the Bengals took.
Mims.
The oft-injured Mims. They just figured, let's be hurt more.
Drew loved that pick last night.
Actually, he's talked himself into it overnight. As normal fan coping takes... And look, he's not alone. Yeah. We do this too. As normal fan coping has taken place, by the time Drew went to bed last night, laid his hand on his pillow, woke up this morning, he has talked himself into Mims being a star.
Especially because Johnny Newton's still on the board. I mean, I don't know how he's still there.
I will say the biggest problem with what he had said to me this morning about the Mims pick is the justification is the worst kind for someone you take 18th overall. He's like, you know what? I feel better about it because he doesn't have to start right away. He can just be the third tackle. I'm like, you spent pick 18 on him. I'll tell you right now, anybody my team picks at 18, I sure as hell don't be like, well, they could just take a couple of years to develop and be good. Pass. I want them to start.
Well, it just speaks
now
to the greater you and I were discussing before the show, which is if you look at what occurred last night in the first round across the NFL, in particular teams we consider to be threats or challenge, you know, rivals, all that. All right, in your own division, the Broncos get Bo Nix. Okay, whatever, fine.
By the way,
whatever.
Laughably bad pick. Yeah. Just hilariously
bad. But that's why six quarterbacks we were talking about, like, we're going to go or not go, is that the Broncos were just as well. Like, they felt like, well, we just have to take one. We'll see what happens.
Panic draft pick of all time at 12.
So the Broncos didn't do anything that changes anything in how we should view the Broncos. The Chargers got a very good tackle that probably will be a tackle for 15 years in the league or something.
But they spent the fifth overall pick for a guy they're going to start right tackle.
And a tackle isn't going to suddenly swing things to where the Chargers are winning the division, okay? The Raiders got a very good tight end in Brock Bowers. But again, a tight end is not going to be why you change if Gardner Minshew's throwing the football for you.
Their fans hated that pick, actually.
And so They'll probably draft a running back tonight too, and just be like, "What are you doing?" Antonio Pierce, right. Old school minds, tight end, running back, and
they'll get a linebacker in the third.
I don't know. Do they have a punter? They might draft one later. Uh-huh. I don't know. But like, so nothing in the AFC West scared you or anything. We just mentioned the Bills haven't even made a pick yet. In fact, they helped you get the fastest wide receiver available in the draft, and not just—I keep saying available—literally the
Ravens
fastest
might be the only
ever
one.
In the NFL draft.
Yeah,
I should clarify
4.21.
That's right. And then we just discussed Cincinnati. They got maybe a backup lineman for a year. I mean, honestly, the Texans didn't have a pick. They had a great offseason, but they didn't have a pick last night. Like, nobody that you would consider a threat. You're like, oh boy, man, they had a great, like, the Bears had a great draft. They're not a threat. They're in the NFC. Who cares?
Yeah, the Bears had probably the best draft of the night, but it's easier when you get to take a franchise quarterback number one overall and then just sit at number nine and get Adunze.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy way to go
about
it.
Great draft for them. But the biggest surprise, easily last night. We're all sitting there at the landing, and I hope everybody had a great time last night. I hear your voice, man. I can tell you had a good time. The voice is like, I can tell you. We all were ordering, and Drew right away ordered two beers just right up front.
Ooh.
He was ready to go. Was that just because you knew it was coming for the Bengals or what?
No. And
it was just busy.
I knew we were going to be there a little while, and my throat is, I think it's allergies. The throat's been a little itchy for the last couple of days. So uh-oh. I think it finally,
We've been there before, but yeah. Michael Penix Jr. Getting drafted in the top 10 wasn't the stunner. Getting drafted at 8
to the Atlanta
Falcons, who I believe they have a quarterback they paid $140 million to this offseason.
Give him $100 million guaranteed.
Kirk Cousins, what the hell was that?
It makes absolutely zero sense. For all. Okay, so starters, you can't start him for at least 2 years. Kirk Cousins signed a 4-year deal, 2 of which is guaranteed. So best case scenario is that you would start him 2 years from now when he would be 26 years old. I just want to remind you, Patrick Mahomes was 27 years old when he had won his third Super Bowl and had attended 4. So by the time he can even start for your team, he'd be the same age Patrick Mahomes was last season. So that seems like a really horrible decision. But also, now what you've done is piss off Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Kirk Cousins openly stated that the reason he went to Atlanta is that he felt like that was the one team that was committed only to him. Like, not feet in both camps. Not trying to keep... He just thought... They got the talent. They want to win now. I'm about winning now. They've got all these pieces around it. I'm going to show up there, and we're going to ball out. And instead, for a win-now team, they took a quarterback at 8. It's so weird. That pick made no sense to me.
The funniest thing
is, if they get it right, no one will care, but still.
The GM, Terry Fontenot, afterwards on Penix said, quote, "If he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position." That means he'd be 28 years old.
General,
if it's 4 years,
malpractice is what that quote. If that's actually
poverty franchise.
Look, the Falcons. What you were saying, Cody. If you're Kirk Cousins, you think, wow, this is a good landing spot. There's some talent on this team. It's a weak division, and this team has the 8th pick, so they can either get a stud right away to help the team, or they'll trade down and get a couple more picks. Maybe they draft an edge rusher to help out the defense that you're going to be having on the other side of the ball. No, they draft a quarterback that is going to be useless to you for 2 years, has nothing to help you if you're Kirk Cousins, if you're the Falcons, to win that division this upcoming season. And for Kirk Cousins, yeah, maybe he's out of there in 2 years. And Michael Penix, like, I like Michael Penix. We've talked about that. But it makes zero sense, the situation that they're actually in. The flip side, the selling point, you would be like, oh, well, maybe he's going to sit behind him for 2 years and it'll turn out to be Jordan Love. You're in a win now spot right now, though. I don't get it whatsoever.
Just the logic of if he sits for 4 years.
It's a great problem to have.
This is a poverty franchise. They chose, like, they could have had the single greatest coach of all time in Bill Belichick, and they were like, no, he threatens our business. And then that same general manager who was worried might threaten his job. Why, if you, the problem, it comes down to one basis. If you really thought Michael Penix Jr. is this star, oh my God, I can't believe it, we got to get this guy, you should have never given Kirk Cousins $100 million. Plain and simple. Like, you just don't give him that contract if Michael Penix Jr. is your dude. You take that $100 million guaranteed, and you give it to people to help Michael Penix. It's like you don't even care about winning the Super Bowl for the next 2 years, which was the whole point of the Kirk Cousins deal.
Yeah, you would have...
It's counteractive.
You would have just said, all right, well, actually, if anything, we would have traded up to ensure we could have got Penix because we didn't sign Kirk Cousins in the offseason. But you ended up picking at 8 for Michael Penix, and you gave the money to Kirk Cousins. It is honestly one of the more bizarre moves I've seen in the top 10.
If he's great, it's the one thing they could, like, at least at quarterback, it is the one thing they can wash it away. If Michael Penix Jr., 2 years, when he's 29 years old or whatever, he'll be 26 or whatever, when he's that old, then, and he's great, then it'll work. People are trying to be like,
he basically has to be Jordan Love then in order.
Jordan Love's had one good year, and we talk about him like, it's just like, it worked, foolproof. The guy played one season and was a good starter. He was like the 9th best starter in the NFL, 10th best starter in the NFL, and we're just like, that worked?
I mean, is that even enough for him to be, does he have to be, like if he's top 10, because in a way, they did everything right this offseason, it seems like, until this, to get them in a position to win the division, which they still probably will, but to actually make a run at it here in the next couple of years.
So stupid. I don't get it. Can I dunk on the Broncos for a minute for Bo Nix? I know we can do that later on the live stream too, because I feel like I've got some curse words involved in that. That was such a bad pick. He's not going to be good. And they waited. They stayed at 12 and took the 6th best quarterback on the board.
That was a thought of where 12. They were going to do, though.
Who else was going to take a quarterback? Why the hell did they take him at 12?
That was a thought, though, going in. Like, I mean, that they were going to take Bo Nix. I mean, we and I went back and forth about would there be over 5.5 quarterbacks taken. And I think the separation was, I don't disagree with you when we were going back and forth during the week about, like, is Bo Nix a first-round quarterback talent? No! But that doesn't always mean they don't go in the first round, and that's what happened. Bo Nix is not a quarterback anybody should be concerned about whatsoever in the NFL, but the Broncos are in a spot right there. Well, we got to take it. Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and Bo Nix and Ben Nucci.
You guys don't have one ounce of faith in Bo Nix?
No.
I'm leaning in, guys.
That's your guy?
From the get-go, I have been a Bo Nix guy. I'm not going to say he's going to be great, but I think that there's better potential for him to be good than what's being
Zach
believed.
Wilson still might start week one for them.
I got to be honest.
I don't think he will.
Still might start week one.
Same rules apply. In most given drafts, 3 of these guys will be awful. They won't even be starters by the end of this deal. Yeah. 2 of them will be okay NFL starters, and 1 will be great. Bo Nix is definitely going to be the one who stinks. I'm just penciling him in. That's where he's going.
Who's the wide receiver crew with the Broncos now?
Cortland Sutton.
And that's it, essentially?
Is Tim Patrick still there? I don't know. End of list, I think.
Who can't stay healthy, but yeah.
They traded away Jerry
Judy.
They
don't have a second-round pick either, if I'm not mistaken. Cortland Sutton, Josh Reynolds, and Marvin Mims.
Okay, Josh Reynolds. So they added. I mean, God, dude.
I think he's not going
to honestly, great news. I'm glad the Broncos blew it. What do I care? It's just the division in no way got closer to the Chiefs last night.
Nope.
I'll tell you that.
No. Nope. No,
they got nowhere closer to the Chiefs at all last night. And so good. Good for you, Denver.
I can promise
enjoy
you,
Bo Nix.
I mean, this same thing applies with the Raiders. I mean, Gardner Minshew is going to be their quarterback this year since they didn't draft one. And then they draft Brock Bowers, who's a very good tight end. But they're going to do just enough to once again next year pick between 12th and 17th. Like, how much would you guys want to bet that picks 12 through 17, the Broncos and Raiders once again next year picking between 12th and 17? Yeah, who knows? Maybe the Chargers will, but 12th to 17 will be where the Broncos and Raiders pick next year.
I'll say the Broncos pick like 18th or 19th.
I could see the Broncos picking. No.
18, 19, just to, I mean, five. The same,
I'm going higher than the range.
I said 12 to 17. I'm
going higher than
18,
the range.
Okay.
I think the Raiders might pick like top 8, but other than that,
yes, I
totally
with that.
Agree with you. The Raiders might be slightly worse than that, but other than that, yeah, that's the range.
I mean, Gardner Minshew, I actually think they can win 7-8 games with Gardner Minshew. That's what he's pretty much done a lot of his career. He's never going to get you anywhere special, but he's a serviceable quarterback that keeps you average. That's what Gardner Minshew will do for the Raiders next year.
Borderline dream first round for the Chiefs last night. I'm not going to lie. All the teams in the division, nobody scared you. You get a fast wide receiver. Moving on.
We'll talk more about what the Chiefs could do tonight and the rest of the weekend with our guy Pete Sweeney next.
Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney, Pete Sweeney.
Well, it's time to talk to Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider. He was out at Arrowhead late last night with the Chiefs selecting Xavier Worthy. I'm assuming you're thrilled, though, that they might only have one pick tonight. Isn't that my understanding, that you're excited the fact that they just have one second-round pick now?
I got 3 hours of sleep, and I got to work 10 hours tonight, and you guys have an hour workload today.
We're doing a special.
We're doing a live video for 1 hour after, Pete.
2 hours
we're
today.
We're doing 2 hours of work.
Okay. I didn't realize that. It's always good for media members. I tend to think, and maybe we're getting into the meat of it right now, I tend to think they make this second pick, and Veach has kind of said that 20 to 50 is a hot spot. I would be surprised if they don't get back in. So I think it'll be two picks today, and it's okay because that'll be like less for the weekend as a whole for us reporters. But I do think they get back in and select in the third round today.
We can get into those particular picks and who you think they could target in a second. But Xavier Worthy, I mean, he was right around the combine one of the more popular names mentioned. And then I think a lot of people saw his 40 time, the fastest ever, like, oh, he's going to go way too early. They don't have a chance. He ends up falling a little bit, and then he's there at 28, and the Chiefs are able to trade up just before two other wide receivers end up going out before the end of the first round. What do you make of that selection and the ability to trade up for Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, I talked to someone with Kansas City, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and they were high on Xavier Worthy. But then when the combine happened and that grade came through, that really, I think, began to worry the Chiefs that, you know, they wouldn't be even close to the range to go up and get him, because this is a type of player, and I think we've seen it's been a little polarizing, a little thin for wide receiver in the NFL, probably has some weight to gain. I think there have been some worrisome thoughts that this could be like Mecole Hardman part two, not to say that he wasn't a contributor in some capacity, but you obviously wouldn't want to use a first rounder on a trajectory like that. But I know for a fact that this guy was on the Chiefs' radar for a while. And I think kind of like McDuffie, not as much of a slam dunk as a few years back, I think they were pleasantly surprised that they were in a position to go and get him. I think the past 2 years, the theme has been winning despite not having that speed aspect that they really had with Tyreek Hill. And now suddenly, after that two-year hiatus of what we used to call the Legion of Zoom, they have two sub 4.3 40-yard dash guys on this team. And so I think they really feel like this could be a piece that unlocks the offense. And, you know, you do have that Rashee Rice factor where, you know, I'm thinking he gets between 2 and 6 games, probably around that 4 mark. And so helps to ease some of those concerns.
What do you think they do in round 2 and round 3 tonight, Pete, if you think they're moving back up? Defensive line, do they get the tackle late in the second round? Where do you think they go position-wise?
Yeah, I think the next two picks are tackle and cornerback. I remember just chatting with Brett Veach on that pre-draft presser. He's usually pretty forthcoming. And he felt like the better offensive lineman that would be worth taking in the first round would be on the high end of the first round. But there were some tier two guys that could be in that mix, again, in that 20 to 50 range, both at the offensive line and the cornerback position. I've talked to you guys how I think cornerback is a hidden glaring need in a way, just because I don't know who really that second cornerback is right now. You can't really write it in ink. And so the Chiefs historically have thrown names at certain positions. I think cornerback is one of them. But, you know, you look at the second round in offensive line, the Chiefs have been really good at getting these cornerbacks in what would you call the mid rounds, but they've been good at getting offensive linemen in anything but the first round. Your boy, Cody Creed, I know you know him well. He was a second rounder, and yeah. I think they feel like they can get some upside as far as the tackle goes. I do wonder what happens after that. Let's say you have draft pick X that comes in the second round. You have Wanya Morris, who was a third rounder last year. I do think you're going to want to bring in some type of veteran for a WWE-style triple threat position battle at training camp. But again, I think you need to fill those two positions next if you can. And again, because I think Brett Veach is so high on this, what is going to be now the 33 to 50 range or a little bit after that, I do think they make two picks today one way or another. I came into this draft thinking the Chiefs would leave with 6 players, where I'm maybe starting to think that it's 5 this year and 5 that they really like.
Do you think by the time the weekend's over, not necessarily today, though, do they draft, you know, an interior offensive lineman, a potential Trey Smith long-term replacement, and even another wide receiver and say, screw it, we only have a couple under contract next year anyway after this upcoming season, go wide receiver and draft a second?
Yeah, I think if I'm going to stick with my thought that there's going to be 5 players at the end of this thing, then I think it's 3 offensive players and 2 defensive players, and I think those defensive positions are cornerback and defensive line. I mentioned they got this wide receiver. They have an offensive lineman. I wonder if it's another pass catcher. I could see it going in a number of different directions. I wonder if it's a tight end that you feel like has some of those rare traits that you can develop as Travis Kelce continues to get a little bit older, and you're wondering who could be potentially that next guy for Kansas City, and very well could be in the interior of the offensive line. One of the things I wanted to see in this draft was the Chiefs take more offensive players than defense. We've seen them focus on defense for a number of years, and so we'll see what they end up with at the end of the weekend. Brett Veach was able last night, despite getting rid of that third rounder, to keep the same number of picks, and they've been awfully good at identifying, okay, here's some value, there's some value. You know, we can find a way to get more picks. We can find a way to get less picks if we really like a certain player, that type of thing. And so a number of different things they could do, but I tend to think we see more offensive players than defensive players by the end.
Last question I have from you, Pete. What grade would you give the Broncos for Bo Nix at 12?
A better grade than Aaron Ladd's Falcons. that's for sure.
Yeah, that was weird.
You know what? The night after the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes around 10, I think a lot of people, maybe not as many as laughing at Bo Nix, were laughing. Why didn't they take Deshaun Watson? So you never know with these type of things. Sean Payton's already put out there that he thinks as highly of Bo Nix as he does Mahomes. We'll see.
That's a stupid thing to say, by the way.
I'll give them a B-. I like that they stuck to their guns and they're willing to look stupid for it. We'll see if it pans out for them.
Pete Sweeney thinks Bo Nix is the real deal. That's what I heard. Pete Sweeney,
aren't you? Didn't say that. I don't like these like wishy-washy type of like moves. That they're going all in.
I feel like though, Pete, they like Bo Nix to me is clearly not a first-round talent, but there was always going to be six quarterbacks taken because the Broncos are like, well, we have to take one, right? So we're just, and they'll be back in the same spot next year drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, very well could be. I mean, it's funny how history works. The Chiefs were very excited about Paxton Lynch. Thank God the Broncos took him. The rest would have been history. Who knows if you get Chris Jones and then Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, we're always quick to judge the night of. We'll see what happens. With Lamar Jackson went 32, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who knows? The chances of Caleb Williams being the best quarterback historically, you know, he'd probably take the field. So which one of these guys could it be? I mean, I don't know. Quarterback's a tough position to land. I think it's a lot more mental than people give it credit for than just watching the film. So we'll see what they do. I'll tell you what, it has to work for Sean Payton or this trade is going to look very, very silly. Another silly trade for the Denver Broncos.
Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider. Great work all weekend coming up over at Arrowhead Pride. Appreciate it, man.
All right, boys.
There you go. Yeah, like the
saying that I like him as much as Patrick Mahomes is just an objectively stupid thing to say. Do you know how much pressure that puts on your guy?
So look, that I don't know if that was a direct quote from Payton or that was just Adam Schefter was doing his, you know, basically putting out info for Payton. So the exact quote the exact tweet we're referencing, this is from Schefter. I don't think Sean Payton actually said these words, but it's clearly coming from Sean Payton's camp. Adam Schefter, right after the Bo Nix pick, tweeted out, Sean Payton wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft when he held the 11th overall pick. He was ready to turn in the card, but before he could, the Chiefs traded up to the Bills spot at number 10 and took Mahomes one spot before Payton got him, leaving the Saints to draft Ohio State cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did Mahomes, which is just hilarious. How many more years are we going to hear Sean Payton making sure we all know that he would have taken Mahomes, guys? He would have taken Patrick Mahomes, but he just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it.
He is so underperforming as a head coach. Like I'm tired of him. Like he talks more about the things he could have done than the things he actually did.
Right.
You won a Super Bowl once, man. It's cool.
Reminder coming up in 15 minutes. We're handing things off to Vern. His On Deck show as the Royals are in Detroit taking on the Tigers. It's an early game because the draft is in Detroit. They had a huge crowd. One of the bigger crowds we've seen for the draft last night. And because of that, we'll be on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, X, doing a 1 hour. I don't even call it a bonus show. It's just another hour of the show with no regulations. Who knows what Cody's going to say?
I was going to say, it sounded like you have a whole monologue for the Bo Nix.
I want to talk about a couple things that took place at the event last night, you know?
Were some things that took place.
I think we got to get into some of that. Yeah. And last night, I had a moment of childhood redemption.
Oh.
Redemption!
Hmm.
So I want to talk about that, too, at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
so
we can get into some of
go subscribe to the YouTube channel and the Twitch channel. We're going to do that at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, if you want the unscripted version, not that this is scripted. If you want the unscripted, uncensored, I should say, version of Cody and Gold, that's coming up at 11 o'clock on our social media channels. Going back to what Pete was joking about with Aaron Ladd, our friend Aaron Ladd at 41, who's a Falcons fan, and the Falcons drafting Michael Penix. It is wild to think that, I mean, next year, Shedeur Sanders could be the first overall pick next year from Buffalo. But
if Deion lets him go there,
if he lets the next team that's going to be bad, number one pick, Panthers, maybe.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
they've been the number one pick 2 years in a row. They just gave it to the Bears.
Titans, maybe.
Yeah, it could be New Orleans even. But anyway, point being, so he might play in start games, and he's probably going to, if not might, he's going to play games before the guy you drafted eighth overall if you're the Falcons. Like, that's nuts. A guy, there could be a guy in 2 years from now that is drafted in the first five picks as a quarterback that starts before the guy you just spent a top eight pick on. That's stupid.
It just doesn't make any sense. Because I've seen the other and be like, hey, he's a 35-year-old with an injury history and all this stuff. I'm like, they paid him. The Falcons can't make that argument. They're the ones who gave him $100 million guaranteed at 35 with that injury history. They don't get to use that excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You, a fan, could, I guess, but the team paid them. That move will never make any sense. Again, you're going to wash it away. If for some reason he's good, but otherwise it's going to go down as one of the dumbest things you've ever done. So, or what did they get to the NFC? Like, just look at it this way. What did they get to the NFC Championship game this year against the Dallas Cowboys? It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't matter. The 49ers is probably the safe bet at this point. They get to the NFC Championship game, and they come up short in a game because it's like, God, if only they had one more weapon. If they could only gotten to the quarterback one more time. Like, how do you feel about yourself knowing that if you would just put that one more piece in place in a wide-open NFC, instead you got some dude just kicking it on the bench, you're planning on starting 4 years from now or whatever the GM said? It's just stupid.
Yeah, and if you were worried about the injury recovery from Kirk Cousins, well, you're clearly not that worried because you handed out a $100 million contract, guaranteed contract and all that. So that's why I don't buy the, well, it's just protection in case Kirk Cousins gets hurt. One, you don't give him the money if you're really that concerned. And two, if you want protection, go ahead and draft Spencer Rattler in the third round. That's fine. You know what I mean? If you're worried about having someone to back up Kirk Cousins, I just don't get it. That is going to be fascinating to watch over the next couple of years. When we maybe in 2 years see maybe Michael Penix finally get an opportunity to play. But
what do we think they're going to do in? So let's start with round two because we don't know that they're getting back into round three.
Fair.
And we can talk about the rest of the week in here in just a minute. Round two, my assumption is based on everything Brad Feach has said, I still think they might take a tackle in round two.
I think if the two or three names we've mentioned that we thought were going to be a pick at 32, you know, so BY Kingsley out of BYU is there, and I think he might go in the first 10 picks tonight, but if he's there later and you get into a position where he slides, then I think he's back in play. I just wonder if we see two or three more tackles go early in the second round and they just punt on tackle and say, all right, we're Donovan Smith and Wanya Morris. We'll just do that again, and then you and I will be sitting here next March talking about how the Chiefs should draft a tackle again. Like, I think that could happen. I think guard's in play. I know that's not the fun
corner,
position.
Guard,
I think guard's
tackle.
In play. Trey Smith might not be here a year from now if they don't give him a contract, and he might be the odd man out. Do you draft a guard here? I think guard's an interesting one, and then there's only been three corners, right, guys, that have been off the board so far. I think there could be a couple go off early tonight. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa might be a top four pick tonight, but there's only been three corners.
Cooley, McKinstry.
And Wiggins, right? Last night?
Wiggins got picked yesterday.
The report was Dabo was calling Harbaugh a thousand times telling him to take his boy.
But Wiggins went last night.
Quinion Mitchell.
The Mitchell kid and then Arnold, right? Those are the three corners.
Yes.
Hey, real quick on Quinion Mitchell. Are we cool with Nick Saban, who bitched about the portal the entire time, admitting to cheating last night?
That was funny.
He said, I tried to get him to enter the portal a bunch, and the man wouldn't enter it. That's against the rules. Nick Saban, known cheater. His legacy is tarnished. They all cheat.
They all do.
Literally everyone in college football does this. Kudos to Nick Saban for not getting caught. You know?
Yeah.
He didn't get caught. He just openly admitted on air last night. He really doesn't care now, but
it's fun to actually see the two coaches who were so, you know, curmudgeon-y or whatever, Saban and Belichick, both were on special broadcasts, you know, of the draft. And it was nice to see, you know what? It was that they actually can, you know, just be normal people. And Belichick was fantastic on the Pat Mac. I went back and watched a couple clips from that. who was on with Pat McAfee. Belichick was great. Loose and telling stories and joking around.
He was talking about
how
he was very good for Randy Moss.
He was fantastic.
Saban was really good as well in terms of breaking down everything with the game day crew. But Belichick, I think, in terms of what could he be as an analyst or an on-air personality?
It's great. Really tough because Bill Belichick's breakdown of a player is borderline perfect. Like, we listen to a lot of these analysts and be like, oh, Dan Orlovsky, and it seems like they kind of know what's going on, and it's not that they have no knowledge of it. They obviously played in the sport, and they've been around the sport. And then I heard Bill Belichick talk about a player. I'm like, ooh, no, he's got you figured out. Mm-hmm. Did you hear his breakdown of Drake May yesterday? I mean,
he thought he was going to be coaching.
Which is kind of like a funny spot, isn't it? Him breaking down the Patriots' new quarterback choice.
But he thought he was going to be coaching this year. So he was locked in to the prospects that were coming out of college. I mean, it's not like he took 5 years off. I mean, he thought he was going to be coaching for the Falcons right now. And so he was zoned in on potential guys to draft. And I can promise you this, if Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Falcons, there's no chance in hell they would have drafted Michael Penix. And that's not a shot at Raheem Morris, but I'm just saying, like, there's no way if Bill Belichick was the head coach that they would have drafted Michael Penix at 8. There's no chance.
No. No. 0%. He would have taken a defensive lineman or something. By the way, that was one of the weirder things in the first round. 23 offensive players taken in the first round.
Dallas,
I guess
Turner,
if you're in a defensive player in the second round, there are some available.
Dallas Turner wasn't picked until 17, and he was projected to be in the top 8.
And that took a Vikings trade up, right?
Yeah, the Vikings traded up. I think if he was there for the Bengals would have taken him.
Do you think you were asking me about tonight only, but for the rest of the weekend, the Chiefs, they gave up a third-round pick to move up, we know, with Buffalo. But remember, they have an extra third-rounder next year. Mm-hmm. If they really want to get back into the second round with a second, they could trade still one of their third-round picks
next
year.
And they have two fourth-round picks this year. They have plenty of ammunition to get back in the third. I actually think Pete's right. I think Brett Veach has spent too much time talking about how fourth-rounder later, you're just, I mean, even more than normal, throwing absolute darts. If you can get back in the third and maintain one of your fourth by using that third next year, okay, well, then in the first four rounds, you're still going to get four players, which means you can address a lot of those positions we're talking about. Wide receiver, tackle, defensive line, corner. Look, you're never going to get all of them. It doesn't work that way. But you can get enough of the cycle through that you can feel kind of confident with what you've got. It makes a lot of sense to me. I kind of assume, like Pete, that they're going to go up tonight.
I wonder if that was what made it even easier to trade up at all. Buffalo, okay, the asking price, the trade chart. Oh, we're going to give up a third-round pick this year. That's not a problem. We've got an extra one because we traded L'Jarius Sneed. And so that you can choose to use this year if there's actually someone that's there late in the second round that you believe is worth moving up for, whether it means an additional second-round pick or you use that as ammunition to go up even higher in the second round. Both are possibilities tonight in round number two, and then, of course, on Saturday, the rest of the draft.
The fact that they have those extra picks, they can utilize that, obviously, for teams that don't have as many. I don't know how many, and just in looking at NFC teams, who has maybe no fourths or no fifths, we need to just get some more talent, that you can use some leverage there.
What do you guys think the top five picks or so tonight are? So Buffalo's on the clock, technically right now, even at 33. Then New England, then Arizona, then the Commanders and the Chargers. Those are the next five picks slated. The Buffalo pick is from Carolina when they traded out.
They're going to take Andy Mitchell, right?
You would think it has to be a wide receiver. I think the Patriots are also going to take a wide receiver.
Ladd McConkey, maybe?
Yeah, McConkey's still out there.
Cooper DeJean will go for sure, like you said.
Cooper DeJean might go to Arizona.
I feel like Khalil McKintry's going to go in the top five.
Yep.
Arizona is kind of having a pretty good draft. If you look, they got a lot of work to it. Marvin Harrison Jr., they draft the kid out of Missouri.
They have a lot of draft assets this year.
They draft the kid out of Missouri and Robinson, and maybe they get Cooper DeJean. And all of a sudden, that's some nice picks for a Cardinals team that obviously needs some help, but something to watch. The Commanders maybe go tackle. So does that take the BYU kid off the board if you're hoping he slides down? Or can we will continue this conversation. We're going to head over to...
Did I pod the outro music up all right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, someone did compliment you on that last night.
Yeah.
They said you're doing better.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We had a fun time at the landing, some fun stories. We're going to talk about those over on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, as we have an hour social media-only show coming your way because we've got some Royals baseball as they try to kick off a series in the right way against the Tigers. Vern's On Deck show is next.